Welcome to the Midwest Scrubcast. I'm Emily Rastel, and I'll be your pilot for the party bus today. Joining us in the gunner slot is Clint AC Face Houston.
Why, pew pew, and hello. I thought you were laughing at me, but it turns out you're coughing.
I'm trying not to cough into the mic.
Matt, what have I already done?
I was laughing about what nerds we are.
He did suppress a chuckle. I was suppressing a cough.
Uh-huh. Are you still laughing at the introduction nerdery?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The unseen nerdery.
The unseen nerdery that we do that nobody knows about, and mm-hmm. It's great.
Yep.
Well,
unseen and unheard.
Joining us in one of the crew slots, mm-hmm. there are along on this ride in this party bus is Dan, the Midwest Scrub himself.
Hello. And also joining us is Matt, always late to this podcast, Carrie.
I am truant. I definitely was late today. But I at least informed you that I was going to be late.
That is true.
That is true. I knew I was. So
I, in a manner of speaking, inform you that I'm going to be late and that it is always a thing. So like you just know Dan's going to be late.
I mean, we show up at your house. We can let ourselves in. So
this is true.
Even if you're late, it doesn't really hold us up a whole lot. It's like we could still get in, make ourselves comfy.
And even though we're late, it doesn't affect the people at all.
No. Until we're late getting the podcast out.
Yes.
And then it affects the people. Until we record a podcast, have it ready to go, and then go on a flight.
I suppose that kind of late does affect people.
Yeah, you got a strobing light above your head.
I think this is appropriate. You know, yeah. I mean,
it is Halloween.
I was going to say you could turn it to where it stops.
It's not, though. It's all the way in.
That's what I was saying. You could unscrew it.
Unscrew it, yeah. There you go.
It's darker, but it's not flickering.
Uh-huh. And now you can make it strobe as much or as little as you want to.
Yeah, just
it's true. Yeah.
Screw in, screw out.
Speaking of, your light switches make crackly electric noises whenever I flick them on and off. And
it's perfectly normal. Don't even worry about it.
I mean, isn't it? I feel like he's an electrician.
Trust him.
I was like, geez, does Dan like have some souped up lights? Just something you turn them on and you hear the slow...
So what's fun is actually to a degree that is actually normal.
Mm-hmm.
With the dimmer, it's probably not a great sign. But like with any sort of toggle switch, you will often hear at least an initial kind of crackle if you're really paying attention.
Mm-hmm. And if you hold it in that position,
it will sit there and just crackle. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
He's running 230 and they're all 120s though.
So the switches should actually be rated for 277. Yes. Precisely.
Clint's playing with the light.
He's making it strobe as much as he wants to.
Just twist it in and out.
Anyways, okay. Matt was late today.
Yeah, I was. So I was at, I call her my niece, but she's not actually my niece's birthday party. She's my cousin's
Speaking
daughter.
Speaking of niece.
But I was at that birthday party. We were at a park and it's like 35 minutes away, so when I realized that I had spent a little too much time there, and then they were about to do the birthday song, and I was like, well, I'll hang out for that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I texted about like 3 minutes before they did the birthday song, and I was like, okay, and then I'll sing that, I'll do the hugs, and then I'll leave. Uh-huh. So, but then I also got roped into chasing them, playing chase.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't like necessarily tag, but it was like I chased them around earlier. Like,
did you have a knife or a chainsaw?
No.
Just was the spirit of the season, Matt.
Just was an adult chasing 8-year-olds, and they enjoyed it. Just as I was about to leave, I went to hug her and say goodbye, and she was like, could you chase us one more time? I was like, oh, well, I mean, how can I turn that down? So I did that. However, cool news from that. Didn't realize until I got done chasing these people that I guess my foot is not broken anymore. Because
okay.
I did not feel it.
Pain.
Like,
nice.
No
nice.
Pain. So like, I had uh-huh. chased them twice and I sat down and I was talking to my cousin and I was just like, you know what? I don't feel pain in my foot. So I think my bones healed. So cool.
She was like, start running again.
Yeah, I can do that. I don't want to do that. I want to get a stationary bike and
Matt chasing my house. Children carry.
Matt chases children carry.
Yeah. Indeed. I was like, that's why I said playing chase instead of just like I'm chasing 8-year-olds, you know. I'm chasing 8-year-olds seems weird.
So earlier playing today I was chasing with, children.
So that's why I was late. So like I had it planned out time wise, but then got caught in conversations, didn't realize that time had passed, and then it was a couple of things on top of that. So yeah, mm-hmm. I was late. Mm-hmm. But you know, I learned some things about myself and my foot.
And I mean, so it was nice outside. We got to hang outside with the puppers.
Yeah, on the porch. When I showed up, it was so beautiful, and you guys were sitting out on the deck. I wanted to say porch, and I was like, it's kind of a porch, but it's not. But the deck, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, it's a good day for it.
It is. It's gorgeous.
We should, when it starts to get colder, we should use your fire pit again.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
He says, thinking about how much stuff is in the fire pit. Yes.
Oh, you just like throw random things in the fire pit?
It is just very overgrown.
Okay.
But once everything dies, it'll be pretty easy to rip out. So it shouldn't be.
What do you mean rip out? You mean it'll be pretty easy to burn in the spot that it's already
like,
in?
It's on the bench that you sit on.
Oh,
in
that's
the fire pit itself.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's fine. We just bring some chairs over and have a
and sit
garden
outside
hose
the
nearby.
Ring.
We'll just light the entire thing on fire, you know. Just hope it doesn't burn down your garage.
Yeah, just purge
the garden hoses for.
Just a controlled burn.
Yeah,
you know,
controlled burn. The garden hoses for. Maybe a bucket of water.
You're supposed to have like 3 meters in between. So houses are supposed to have like 3 meters mm-hmm. in between each other, because if one's on fire, that's about the break point. The what's it called?
The jump
break.
Distance.
It's a fire break.
Yeah.
It's like mm-hmm. that's about the distance is 3 meters,
mm-hmm.
3 yards and some inches for those of you that don't speak.
There might be 3-ish mm-hmm. meters in between the fire pit and the garage. Like
maybe.
I think you're cutting it close because that's 9 feet.
There's at least 2 meters.
Yeah, it's like you could lay down in between.
Yeah, for sure, with some extra.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet it's close to
which
3 meters.
Weird. So you're like you're doing the thing that people do when they visualize things in their head. They're looking up to like 70 degrees, you know, and so you're doing what, which I guess is also a learned, you know, just thing is
probably.
You look up to the side and as if you're visualizing, mm-hmm. but I'm confused. It, like you're doing that and you're like, yeah, you could fit a person. And I'm like, what are you doing? What's going on in your head right now? I don't get it.
I'm thinking about it.
But no visuals at all. It doesn't make sense.
Because I'm like, yeah, I could lay down in between the little fire pit wall and your garage.
But the rest of us are having a picture in our
but
heads
actually,
about
I'm
what
like,
about what that
like,
distance is.
Yeah, me laying down. Uh-huh. Yeah, that seems about right. You know, mm-hmm. but you're just like, yeah, a person could fit in there.
I'm reasonably certain.
How do you make that determination without an image, though?
I mean, it's something that I've seen a lot, so like I have a basic idea about how far it is.
So your brain knows that it's X distance, even though it can't picture X distance.
And a person is X distance tall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, and that's, I was out hiking on the Lewis and Clark Trail the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I can remember essentially where, like, little turnoffs for overlooks are,
uh-huh.
right?
Right.
But that's just because I've been on it so many times. It's not like I'm picturing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just
sure,
I know
sure.
that. But I also screw that up. Like, it certainly is not perfect. I turn down and it's
sure.
like, there's a nice overlook down. No, there's not.
this is not the place.
No, uh-huh. this is not.
Yeah.
I'm chuckling over here. I'm imagining Dan's inside brain being a text-based RPG. It's just black screen.
Yeah,
it's just like, you're in a forest. There's a stump there. The trees are green. Would you like to go northwest, east, or south? Go east.
I remember in college.
That's pretty much what's going on. Yeah.
I remember in college watching somebody play that while around that time I'm playing Fable on Xbox, and I'm like, this is weird. Why are you playing this now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure. You know, I was inquisitive. I was talking to this person. I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And but I was just like, not for me.
Uh-huh.
I was like, because I had played enough, like, even, like, oh, man. I can't remember the name of it, but, like, even, like, bare bones, like, DOS games where, you know, like, you can move forward and, like, it moves to the next room type deal. Not, like... Not even like Wolfenstein 3D or Doom level of like free movement. It's like, no, you basically select a direction. You're like, oh, I'm going north. You encounter a monster or you encounter a trap or something like that. And, you know, you only have those cardinal directions that you move. And like you try to go east and there's a wall. Mm-hmm. But you actually see the wall.
Yeah.
You
know? Mm-hmm. No, and what I'm talking about is, just black screen. It's all just text that describes everything that you just said right there is written out in description. Yeah,
you just read that.
But you just read it. And that's, I guess, how Dan's memory is. whenever he needs to know, you know, whatever his garage looked like, he just flips back to that page that described his garage to him.
But see, like, there's other stuff. Like, I couldn't tell you what color the siding is on my garage.
Tan,
white.
Apparently, y'all. Yeah, can't and tell we don't me what know either. But siding is on my garage. Yeah.
But I know like, it's not. Weird. But I know it's not blue.
it's very not blue.
Like, I don't know.
Uh-huh. Like if you had told me, like I say tan, I'm thinking like a light tan, kind of like
off white or something.
Like the walls down here, which nobody can see, but
eggshell.
Eggshell
taupe, kind of very light taupe,
and off white. If you had said that, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds right. But yeah. Yeah. So I do appreciate, Dan, first of all, I just appreciate you being in my life in general. But
me too.
Also, just this has brought up a lot of conversation. Like, I always have, like, a go-to conversation to talk about because it typically comes up naturally.
Sure.
Because we're just, like, my sister just learned about aphantasia because... Mm-hmm. of this she was talking about just being a boss supervisor person where she was talking about how people learn differently and something called siloed learning, and I was just like, yeah, it's interesting how different people, you know, you don't understand how other people view things, you know. And she was just talking about learning, but I was like, and then I was just like, I have a friend that literally cannot visualize things in their head. And she was just like, wait, what? Exactly. It's a thing that exists.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's like 4% or less of the population. And she's like, but what?
But how does that work?
We started talking about not having an internal monologue. And I posited something that I've mentioned to the cousin that had...
Have I been to this person's house?
Yeah, the cousin's house. Okay. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. You were in their swimming pool at one point. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we know which cousin this is. Yeah. Okay.
So it's that cousin. That's the not niece. It's the daughter. She's like my second cousin.
She's first cousin once removed.
Yes. Okay, I was like, it's either second cousin or first cousin once removed.
Once removed, yeah.
But I call her my niece because she calls me Uncle Matt, so that works.
Makes sense, yeah.
But anyway, so it was that cousin, her dad, my Uncle Mike, we think that he doesn't have an internal monologue because he's somebody that is constantly, we're not certain because he can't communicate whether or not he has one because we've tried to ask
him
and he doesn't, but like he's always somebody that has something going. He's always... speaking, there's not a thought that's in his head that isn't announced. We think that might be it. And it when I said that to my sister, like a light bulb went off in her head, you know, metaphorically. Dan, she visualized a light bulb in her head and it turned on. No, Clint turning on his light bulb over there. But it was, so callbacks. Like you could see it, like her eyes light up and she was like, that makes so much sense. He probably doesn't have that, which is the reason why. But understanding that about somebody, you understand the reason that they, you're just a way that they function, you know, just understanding how, like, I mean, understanding this about Dan, you know, it's like, it's cool because I, like, I understand where he's coming from. If I know that about my uncle, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I understand that he's doing things because he doesn't have anything in his head occupying him. That, you know, he's not.
Right.
I still don't know what these people do in their shower aside from clean themselves. But uh-huh. like, you're supposed to have arguments in your head in the shower. I don't know what's going on. But it's been a very interesting thing. And I'm glad that I'm not glad that you have it per se, but I'm glad that I have knowledge of it and that you brought it up.
I didn't realize that this was a requirement for showering.
Well, it's not because it was something that I used to always do. And I understand it's something that people normally do is like they have the imaginary argument in the shower where it's like, oh, there's this thing. But when people have the argument. Pretend to
is
argue.
Is this like the birds and the bees, but something different?
No.
Argument?
It's not the argument, but have like...
People who have internal conversations with themselves yeah. where they sort of take, sort of or literally take two sides yeah, of the argument sure. and play and them like, out in their head.
Well, and yeah. Or like if you had the argument with somebody... And then you're just playing it back and you're just I would say this. Or if you're not quite having that argument, you know that this may come up. You're having that conversation.
You're rehearsing an argument.
I do that. I just didn't realize that like the shower was the place that you had to do that.
No, you don't have to do it there. But that's a lot of – because a lot of – you know, you're just there by yourself. There's not a lot of visual stimuli. I mean, for me, there's plenty of stimuli. You know what I'm saying? No.
I feel like in the shower, I thought you were supposed to have the deep pondering thoughts.
Well, there's
like,
those as well.
Like,
I mean,
you
there's
know,
a subreddit for that.
Yeah, it's called shower thought.
Thoughts thing. You know?
So it's you're either having those arguments or you're having the shower thoughts, which is still internal thoughts. You're having the you're having the things, you know, that people typically associate with like somebody that's high. And they're just like, mm-hmm. you know, those kind of things yeah. where you're having those kind of conversations. But the people that don't have internal thoughts are mm-hmm. not having those. And it's like, well, what are you doing in the shower? Just washing yourself? That's weird.
Uh-huh. Yeah. In terms of internal monologue. So especially I think more so when I was a kid and I did a lot of reading. I would have internal monologue that would just be like, narrating myself. Like I would have like, because I spent so much time reading, mm-hmm. my internal monologue would like turn into a narrator a lot of times.
That's interesting.
Like it would just be like narrating myself what I'm doing. Like and I feel like that's not normal.
But I feel like that's not normal as well.
But
Emily
as a kid,
walked into the kitchen to grab a glass of milk.
I mean not was quite it? That okay. It's not quite that I mean, well, kind of like that. I mean, uh-huh. like, I can't remember exactly. It doesn't happen as much anymore because I don't read as much because I'm older. I don't know. But like,
well, I'm imagining it like
no
that
longer
now.
Narrate yeah. your every action.
Yeah. It wasn't like it would be like a constant thing, but it would just be like
Emily walked to the bathroom.
Yeah. But no, it would. And I think typically the narrator would be more often in first person, actually. It would be a first person narrator, but it would be a narrator. So like, as I'm doing something, sometimes in my brain I would have a narrator being like, you know, I, you know, went to the sink and started doing the dishes even though I didn't want to or whatever. I don't know, just like make it whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it was typically a first person narrator, but like
I
would
pick this bowl up now. I'm gonna wash it. Yeah, I'm gonna spread it off. Now I'm gonna put it over here.
Not like that. Past tense.
Hers is
past tense narration.
Like,
past tense narration.
I definitely have had like the internal narration where it's like I am doing like
I am
the
doing
present
this,
tense.
Yeah.
Of
present
I'm
tense
doing,
narration.
Like,
yeah.
I'm doing this thing and you know, not always sing songy, but plenty of times it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It can be more fun when it's sing songy.
Yeah.
Brush my teeth.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well. Uh-huh. these rails have gone really far.
Yeah, they have.
Oh, yeah. So, Emily,
you're a train.
Oh, yeah, this is still intro, technically.
I did not normally I've been paying attention that, the rail has gone off, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to let Emily know.
Oh, we're going to get back to
it. This was definitely, I completely forgot that we were still at
We're still in introduction.
But, yeah, I was late. Yeah. I am a truant, and Emily is the pilot of our party bus, so I will toss it back to you.
Thanks, Matt.
Oh, don't wreck us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is Fit West October time. So, yes. And
we're doing terrible.
Yeah. We scrubs are scrubbing up the Fit Westing for various reasons. Yeah. But yeah, some of us have legitimate excuses like fractured foots or whatever 12 other things Dan
knees
has
and
going
hearts
on.
And things and
yeah.
Medicine.
Yeah, and Dan's issues. Knees all buggered right now and
mm-hmm. and on different heart meds and heart problems and yeah. Mm-hmm. Blood pressure issues.
I have no excuse.
Yeah, Clint and I don't really have an excuse other than we went on a vacation.
Week long vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
To Key West, Florida and just sat on a beach and bummed out. I don't know. We went on walks on a beach, but that doesn't.
Oh, speaking of, are we gonna
go to the beach? Yeah. I'm for it.
I mean, right? When are we going to the beach?
Oh, going to the beach. Yeah. I mean,
maybe in the
spring. Sure.
Okay, I was joking. What are we talking about?
No, that's for real. I want to go to the beach.
No, that's why I'm saying.
Us.
Have you brought this up before? Because my brain
talked about it 2 years ago.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Right, not recently. He recently said something to me specifically, but not to the whole group.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah, because I was asking how the vacation was, and I was we need to go to the beach.
Yeah.
The scrubs. We need to go.
Okay, I'm down for that.
Yeah. So when do we want to go?
Yeah.
Let's pick a date and talk about it and invite everybody.
yeah. It's if y'all just happen to be at the beach the same day that
we'll tell you which beach.
We all want to meet down by the beach, man.
By the beach. Yeah, no, I'm cool for that.
Mm-hmm. When is the best time to go to the beach? I mean, I assume summer is the time that everybody's there, but that would suck. So
but also winter seems like a bad spot.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, well, winter, it depends on where you go probably, but winter can be crowded because
of the southern hemisphere during our winter.
If you're on the Gulf, you're going to get a lot of snowbird activity during the winter months. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about West Coast, or not West Coast, well, maybe West Coast. I've never been to the West Coast, so I don't know. But East Coast is going to have probably a lot more activity in the summer because people are doing summer vacations over there or something, I would think.
Yeah.
That's what I...
Is the weather still... The weather? Is the weather still swimmable? Is the water still swimmable?
Again,
in, like,
depending
the
on where
Coast?
You go.
So, I've been...
Gulf Coast, probably.
I've been to the Gulf Coast in September, and it's been... almost too cold, where the water was nice, but on the coast they get 15 minute rains, where it's there and then it's gone. Mm-hmm. After that it was just it's too cold, mm-hmm. It just got too cold. Maybe 3 days later it warmed back up, it had enough sunshine, but
late April.
Yeah. So I mean I was in Key West, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Over spring break, and we were swimming.
Which is...
And
it was
cold,
but
we were swimming. I mean, we had...
That's
the
southernmost point, though. That's the,
no,
the
no,
absolute
sorry,
warmest
I don't know
you
when
can
spring
get.
Break is.
Yeah,
I mean,
so the warmest you can
in
get
spring.
In the U.S.
Yeah, it's typically March in the U.S., yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah,
I don't pay attention to these things.
Yeah,
I would suggest not swimming.
We should
in this,
not.
In,
well, we should also
winter.
Not go specifically on
spring break.
Yeah.
That seems like a bad call.
Why not?
Seems
like spring scrubs go on spring break.
Yeah,
we would fit in so well.
I mean, oh yeah, look
spring
at
breakers.
Yeah, we would. We just dress like all the hip kids, right?
Dress like the kids.
Yeah,
learn their lingo. You know.
I did learn something the other day. What was that?
You learned... Oh, I didn't know this one either, but you learned...
You
learned
it doesn't
based.
Sound like you learned it.
You learned based the other
based,
day.
Based, that's what it was.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Based,
yes.
Yes.
I didn't know that one at all.
Yeah.
I had no
oh,
idea.
Yeah.
That was completely new to me.
Yeah.
I've seen it used and always just
yeah,
yep, that's the thing.
There was enough context clues typically when somebody says based that I can tend to figure it out. There's ones that I think the the slang that is easy to pick up, that often like lit, that was an easy one to pick up.
Sure.
Because like, okay, and yeah, cap. Something's on fire, you know, it's like, okay, it's fine, you know, I get that, you know, it's like, that one's an easy one to pick up. The ones that don't, where, you know, like, I don't think that no cap is an easy one to pick up.
It does not make sense.
Yeah, you okay. actually have to, like, talk to somebody to figure out what the heck no cap means, or I mean, ask the internet.
Pretty easy. Like, people who wear hats are not trustworthy.
Are you sure it doesn't have something to do with Captain America? When Captain America is pretty trustworthy, so
I think it's hats.
It's the other way around. Okay. Actually,
yeah. Oh, it's the other way around,
because cap is
exactly
lying.
This. Uh-huh. So this is
no cap is honesty sure. or something. I think
yeah.
right. Yeah,
yeah, because people who wear hats are not trustworthy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Apparently, hot dogs are now glizzies.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's why? Stupid. I don't know. So actually, I do know why. So it started in D.C. For some reason. I don't understand the hop from Glock. I understand the hop from Glock to Glizzy. Like, somebody's just, it's like, I'm going to cap you with my Glizzy. And in this time, cap means to shoot, not to lie. Okay. But
lie to you with my Glizzy.
But, you know, it's like you could see somebody doing the Snoop Dogg-ism of, you sure. know, Izzy or ism or, you uh-huh, know, doing yeah. that. Just mm-hmm. turning their Glock into a Glizzy. Get it. But somewhere that...
Shouldn't it be a Glizzle then?
I mean, you know... It could be, but I could see the leap from Glock to Glizzy, but the understanding that a hot dog, you know, is it you know, like, is a, I don't know, a gun of some sort. I don't know. Perhaps that the gun is somewhat phallic. I don't know. You know, uh-huh. and you know, a hot dog is a wiener, and you, I don't know. I don't get that, but
that is a weird
like,
jump.
I read an article about it because I was like, why is it called a glizzy? But like, they talk about these steps of, you know, this is how it happened, but they don't explain why. You know, it's like,
a gun
oh,
is a hot dog and a hot
yeah,
dog.
Yeah,
is a gun.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't get that jump. I understand that that's how it happened, but I don't get the jump, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't like. I'm trying to think of an explanation for that, and I
again,
like,
language is weird. That's how language has gotten so weird, just yeah. because people make really weird jumps to like yeah. calling things different things.
So
and...
hot dogs are glizzles.
Why not?
That's what my takeaway.
But like then you have.
It's blowing my mind over here. Just go on.
But I mean, you know, language is weird. It's like the reason why that we have so like sweat and perspire, you know, and then it's because like perspire is the fancier one. And that was what the French court would say in England, because the French, you know, they were in the Normans. They came over and, you know, beat the Angles and the Saxes. And so it was a French court that ruled over the glizzles, but like
that makes sense.
Yeah, so you had two different, you know, tiers of speak. You had people that called something a house, you know, because they had their Germanic roots, which was, you know, essentially house,
uh-huh.
and they called, you know, sweat came from Schwitz or something along the lines of that. But the French were like, you know, they had the court, but they had their own English where they're like, this is perspire and this is a manse, you know, a mansion. And it's like,
uh-huh.
but that's just weird. You know, that's how English is formed. Mm-hmm. And we even kind of mentioned it before the podcast.
We have talked about this in the podcast.
Well, I mean, just like before the podcast, like
oh,
5 minutes before
right,
we started,
5 minutes ago
we were talking about how the English is just a bunch of other languages in a trench coat,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
yeah.
Because we just loan words, I guess is what I think what they're mm-hmm. called.
Sure.
And yeah. we just take them over and, you mm-hmm. know, it's like, oh yeah, this is now
and
part
then
of
bastardize
it.
Them and make
yeah,
them
yeah.
ours.
Yeah.
Well, and like then we think have things like flammable and inflammable that mean the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They both mean flammable, and then regardless and irregardless mean the same thing. Even
is irregardless even a word?
No.
I don't think it's a word.
So here's the thing.
A, well, I guess
everything is
a word.
It's a word. Yeah, that's the thing. It's uh-huh. the reason why literally is in the dictionary to mean figuratively now, because mm-hmm. people used it enough to mean figuratively, and I hate it.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, because literally means by the letter. Mm-hmm. Literally means by the letter. And people used it enough figuratively, and they've been doing it for centuries. So, because it's stupid.
That's definitely a thinks I hate it.
But yeah, uh-huh. but there's two different ways to look at the dictionary, and it's like, I think it's prescriptive, where it's like, this is how you should use English.
Prescriptive and prescriptive?
Yeah.
Prescriptive and descriptive.
I was thinking prescriptive and... like a prescription. Yeah. This is how you should use English, whereas the descriptive, which is meaning, like, this is how English is used, and we're just cataloging it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is like, you know, somebody told you ain't isn't a word, but somewhere along the line, it was used enough to where ain't definitely is a word. I mean, in like slang, like
people. I was always told that ain't a word.
Ain't a word.
I'll say it.
But it's just the way that, you know, language happens, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I understand having a prescribed one for, like, you know, documents, you know, like legalese and stuff like that, mm-hmm. to where it's like, okay, this is what sounds professional. You know, there's no scientific papers that you use no cap, glizzy, mm-hmm. fam.
Or John.
John.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing.
Jawing?
No. Maybe I'm saying it incorrectly.
Because to me, jawing is like just talking.
Yeah.
Like J-A-W-I-N.
How are you spelling the thing that you...
J-A-W-N.
Right? John.
John. No, I've not heard that. I don't know what that is.
That's John with two N's, brother. He's from France.
John.
It is used to refer to a place, or to a thing, person, or place, or event that one need not or cannot give a specific name to.
Oh.
Okay. So it's a noun. Person, place, or thing, so it's a
uh-huh.
noun.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I've not heard that one at all.
Yeah, that's new to me.
Apparently, it is chiefly used in eastern Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Also, bussin'. straight bussin', by the way.
Again, that one, in context, I could figure that one out easily. But, you know, it was...
Yeah, in context. But you have to have the context. Yes. If I just say, it's man, that thing's bussin', you're like, say another sentence. Just one more sentence.
What?
Like, I need one more sentence to understand where you're going with this.
So based. So what is your understanding of based?
It is a good thing.
Okay. Apparently, what it actually means is to be true to yourself. Or oneself.
So typically whenever I see based used, they're not talking about something that's a person, place, or thing. Well, maybe a thing, but they're just like
or true to itself, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe true to itself. Yeah, mm-hmm. Where it's like you know, somebody doing a thing. I don't know how to explain it. It's based. Come on.
Yeah. Someone it's doing a like thing itself. And then someone a thing saying, shaped like oh, itself. It's so based.
Yeah, it's so where it's, you know, like, just generically, I've seen it used as, yeah, that's good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like,
either way, there's a positive connotation.
Yeah, it's a positive connotation. Yeah, sure. I definitely feel like it leans towards what you're saying, where something is true to itself, mm-hmm. you know, but not necessarily 100% has to be that.
Mm-hmm. Not that specific, necessarily. Yeah.
On mm-hmm. the Reddits, I've seen it used just like somebody's just like, when they say based, they, you know, they don't even say
there's
something.
Nothing else there, just based.
You know, so like when somebody, you know, says something funny and they're like, that's, they just respond based, where it's like, yeah, that's good. I mm-hmm. appreciate that. That's good. You know, it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is it like the equivalent of that emoji that's like the 100?
Well, like 100 is like, I get that one. Again, that's an easy mm-hmm. context one, mm-hmm. where it's like, mm-hmm. 100% I agree with mm-hmm. you. You know, it's like... Yeah.
I feel like what you're describing is similar to what I always thought that the 100. One, the 100 yeah. emoji was. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an affirmation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're an affirmation.
I don't think so, but I appreciate that. Because it sounded like an affirmation when you said that I was an affirmation. But yeah.
Anyway, before we got off on this tangent, I think we were talking.
Have we finished introductions yet?
No, we did. No, we started talking about FitWest and then got on to this.
Yes. Okay. I was going to say, so the point is, you know, FitWest abilities and or motivation are lacking this based. Time around.
They are not based.
No, sorry.
Which is a shame, but the magical thing about FitWest is that there's always next FitWest to push yourself to be even better than last FitWest. Yeah, so
I am still recording time, but it is 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. Mm-hmm. Though now that I don't think that my foot's broken, maybe I'll go for a 5K walk. Mm-hmm. You know, and then if it feels bad after that, then I'll be like, okay.
Speaking of though, didn't you come up with prizes for the FitWest this time?
Oh yeah. So we're gonna do the top three people get jackets.
Are we talking like windbreakers? Or are we talking like? Do you know
jackets?
Okay.
Just gonna say jackets.
All I saw was certainty in your eyes, where you're just like, I know exactly what jackets. Yeah.
Totally.
Wind probe. He's just like,
yeah. Okay.
Jackets?
Yeah. Yes. We could put the new logo on these jackets.
We can put the new logo on jackets.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Of some kind.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, some manner of jacket.
So it could be a windbreaker, could be a Letterman jacket. Who knows?
You said that your knee is messed up. Interestingly enough, I saw a YouTube short? Is that what they're called? It's not a TikTok. I think they're called shorts. Yeah.
YouTube TikToks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I saw a short, and it was specifically about strengthening the knee.
I'm becoming increasingly convinced that my knee is like partially dislocated.
Okay. I could be convinced as well, but I have no context aside from you said your knee was not working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's a, we'll call them an influencer.
Okay.
That's called Lean Beef Patty.
They should go away.
No.
No?
No, this doesn't seem like one of those influencers. Oh, okay. But it's just somebody that works out and says, hey, here's how, you know.
Oh, actually, I know somebody who is obsessed with this person. Yes.
Okay. I mean, I get it. Like, an attractive woman that's, you know, she's got the muscles. I get that. But, She's like, hey, this is, you know, an ab workout. Hey, this is if you need to strengthen your knee, do this, which is the one that I saw today.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Might be applicable to Clint over here too, who also has ongoing knee issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also
apparently Lean Beef Patty is a song by Danny Brown.
Okay.
FYI.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right.
But also one of the comments that was
sorry.
On the short.
It's on the album Scaring the Hoes.
Okay.
Okay, I'm done with that now.
One of the comments was like, apparently she had done like one for like shoulder exercises, and they're like, oh, I do the shoulder exercises that she does, and it was like, it is incredibly increased my mobility. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have shoulder exercise problems, but I know people that have had shoulder problems. Mm-hmm. Looking at you, Clint. And then also Dan at one point. I remember you couldn't lift your arm up.
I did. Uh-huh. My chiropractor fixed that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to talk to her difference. About my knee.
Yeah,
I think she
definitely.
Needs to tug on my knee.
Yeah.
Or maybe push it.
Something.
Maybe tug it and twist it and then push it.
I don't know. Something.
Twist
whatever
it,
she's
bump it.
Do.
Twist it. Pull it. Spin it.
That's not nice. I do not want her to spend my knee.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sounds bad. All right.
Anyways, do your fitness.
But you know,
back to fitness again.
Yeah. But keep it up, peoples. By the time this comes out, we will probably have like less than a week of FitWest left,
freaking
something like
Curbo
that.
Cat came in with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next one will be, you know, getting our winner person, and then we'll have to figure out how to get
yeah,
them
next
on
episode
the dubious
we'll be drawing the thing. Winner of the other prize. So in addition to the top three, people getting jackets, that's, you know, regardless of whether you've won anything in the past, you can still, you know, win a jacket. And then, of course, as always, our prize of dubious value is that you know, as we explained on the last episode, you know, you get drawing entries into drawings and randomly chosen person will come on the podcast. So
come on the podcast and talk about whatever random crap we happen to talk about.
Oh, it will be your episode, random person, random winner, right. Dubious value. It will
be
yours.
Responsibility to come up with the random crap we're going to talk about.
Well, I mean, so far we've been doing a good job about really not talking about anything on this podcast. Like, it's like we've only gotten into the first topic and we're like probably like 40, 50 minutes in.
40 minutes of detours later. Anyway, so there is, speaking of avoiding detours, there is one thing we specifically wanted to talk about, gaming related content that is almost relevant to this podcast. So there's this new game coming out, which Clint specifically knows a lot about because he was in the playtesting group for it. Mm-hmm. And it is about to be sold in stores / you know, may already be being sold in stores depending on where you are in the world. And this game is Senjutsu, and it has a really interesting concept, which I will throw it over to AC Face to describe and talk about.
Yeah. The game's called Senjutsu Battle for Japan. It was made by Stone Sword Games. They opened up a Kickstarter a couple years ago with the concept of a card game that also has miniatures that you move around and have a samurai duel with. And the Kickstarter ended up making like over $1 million, so it was a big success, and they ended up expanding it to make a lot more characters. I was in the playtest for a few months, and then of course it had to go through production, and now it's at the point where it's finally getting to backers' hands, and I saw it for pre-order on Miniature Mart page for our local store, and I've seen people posting in other places that you can pre-order it or maybe even buy it in stores, like Emily said. But the game, I've had all of these guys play it back whenever I was in playtesting, because part of playtesting was I had to do X amount of games per week, mm-hmm. to playtest the game.
Yeah.
And so that meant, you know, I would drag in some poor soul who's never played this game and just be like, here's a quick rundown of the rules, play this out, and
let
then
beat
I
beat you up right quick.
Let me beat you up right quick, I have to record this. I'm trying something out. Emily was a little more of a consistent
I played probably a few more games than everybody else,
it's hex based.
So you have a hard game to describe. Yeah, so you have a relatively small hex mat, like a play mat with hexes on it, relatively small, and you've got, you know, it's mostly a two player head-to-head game,
but it can be up to four. It technically can be up to as many players as you want,
but there's only a limited amount of spaces. It gets very crowded.
The core set comes with four characters, and it technically says like 1-4, but it's primarily a head-to-head
two-player
dueling
game.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah, you have a small hex board. Each player has a samurai miniature that has one side that's facing forward. Then each player has a deck of 40 cards that you craft. Each character has about 20 specific cards to them. And so you can choose from those cards and then from a group of generic cards to craft decks of 40. And then you each start across from each other. You put out some obstacles on the board, like rocks or trees or things like that. And then you duel to the death. Each character usually has around 5 health, and the hand size is around 6. The cards you play will have arrows for movement. It'll be like imagine a hex board, if you will, in your head, and you're standing on one hex, and you have the three kind of in front of you and the three behind you, and you'll have like a, you know, let's say you have a forward movement card that lets you move in any of the three directions forward one space. You can choose any one of those and move.
So you
your
can go forward, left, front, and right front.
Yeah.
Is the
and you would,
options
you would
for,
keep
for
your
example.
And you would keep your facing, and then you have rotations on cards as well that you would
rotate while you move. And then the attack cards will have spaces on. It'll show which hexes are affected, and then you have defense cards that will show you which spots you defend. And so you each player will pick what card they want to play for that turn simultaneously, put it face down, and both reveal it, and then each card that you play will have an initiative value on it, and defense cards have a varying initiative. You pick which initiative you want to activate at, or which initiative you go at, and then you go from highest to lowest and play it out.
Yeah,
the point of it is to kill your opponent, and you sometimes attack, you sometimes defend. Maybe you have dodge cards. Maybe you have some meditations that, you know, get you some focus to spend on better attack powers.
Right. There's another layer of complexity on top. There's additional layers of complexity on top of it, but the concept is maneuvering, you're attempting to hit and or block, and, you know, position. It's, you know, there's positioning, there's, you know, attacking and defending, and then it's all driven by a deck of cards. So, you know, the randomness is in the card draw, basically.
Yeah, the randomness is in the card draw, and you're not entirely sure what your opponent is going to do.
Yeah,
based on their,
because it's a hidden.
It's hidden.
So, coming from X-Wing, this was, you know, like, oh, hey, that the you know, you kind of set your maneuvers beforehand, and then you reveal them in an initiative order, or you activate in an initiative order, and the idea is to duel your opponent. So. It very much struck me as a, ooh, this is going to be a really fun game. We, after the playtesting was over, we had a tournament that they ran that most of the playtesting team was in, and then a bunch of people that were on the Discord that were able to played the game, because you can get the game on TTS and play it even in its official form right now if you want to try it out before you buy it.
Who won that tournament?
Oh, you see, I won that tournament.
Okay.
And I was
congratulations,
able to
easy phase.
And the prize for winning the tournament was actually to be able to create a card that is in the game. So one of the cards on the bottom of it says card created by Clint Hewson.
It was interesting to see some background on that kind of stuff too, where it's like, here, you get to create this card. Also, it's might just be yours nominally, because we're going to tweak it and do it however you want.
You tell us what kind of card you want to make, and then we will adapt it to fit the game. So, like, you know,
I was not allowed to just create a card the way I wanted to. Sit down with the guy who makes all the cards and, you know, work out one with him. And some, you know, we ended up eventually figuring it out to make it, because the original variation of it, and the problem is it was after the playtesting was pretty much over.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, we have like 1 or 2 weeks before cards are locked down and playtesting is just done, and, you know, no more contact. So I was like, oh, I want to really try this card out and see if it even works.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this card is it's kind of buggered. Like, it needs some fixing. And so was able to eventually talk to him about it, and got it to a fun point, where at least I like to use it. You know, it's not for every character, it's not for everybody, but that's the kind of cool thing about a lot of the cards that you can build from, is you can take one character and build them in different ways based on just the cards that you choose.
So while all of us were searching for our X-Wing surrogate, this is the one that Clint found.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, if you're local in the area, I've been talking to Miniature Market, and I will be setting up a play night and also doing demos. And if you're interested, you know, hit me up. I can run a demo on TTS for you if you're dubious about buying the game.
And once you have your game in person here, hopefully within the next few weeks, you'll actually have a physical copy.
Yeah, I'll have a physical copy here soon. Shipping snafus from Kickstarters are always snafus, usually, and this one slowed down in the U.S. They've had it for a while and just haven't quite gotten it to us.
Yeah, the UK people's have their game.
Yeah, UK's got their game. whatever EU has, same thing as us. It's like in warehouse, just hasn't quite gotten to backers yet. And
yeah.
Anyways, I'll have my game soon, and it will be in stores soon. So.
And in many cases, can be pre-ordered now. If you're if you're listening to this game, and you're thinking, "Wow, this is my Xbox."
Hashtag not sponsored, but if you're interested in this game, you know, look it up. It's called Senjutsu.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some YouTube videos where you can watch gameplay.
Some of them are really old, because and out of date because it was they did the whole they got a lot of people to play test the game, or sorry, preview the game before the Kickstarter even happened, or while the Kickstarter was happening.
Yeah.
And the game wasn't in its anywhere near its final state or form. Mm-hmm. So some of them might be quite out of date. But there are some current ones of people playing through like the solo variation of the game, or maybe even duels.
Try to remind me when we go to post the episode, and we can maybe link to some stuff in the episode description. We'll try to remember to do that so that you can have some way to find it if you're interested.
Yeah. So yeah. Uh-huh. That's my ad this time.
Hashtag not an ad. Hashtag an ad.
Definitely not an ad, but I like the game and I would like it to succeed. They've already said they were going to come out with a season two that would be another expansion with more characters. I think currently I can't remember if it was 14 or 15 characters that ended up getting made, because the core set has four, and then there's a bunch of expansions you can buy that most of them come with two characters, and I think only one of them has one character.
Now that you've been talking about this, it reminds me that right about now, I think like November is when the Rainbow Six Siege is supposed
to
be.
Is it finally?
Well, and they haven't been doing – so like you've been getting updates where they're like, it's shipping. And then they're like –
Oh, no. I've had – first couple of Kickstarters I even got.
Yeah.
Like you were like, oh, yeah, I have a Kickstarter I've been waiting on for a while. Yeah. And I've received almost all of mine over the past like 2 years, and you still haven't received
So for mine – but they've been – more like they haven't been like, oh, it's ship, like,
yeah,
they, this
they've
is
told
they've
you,
been
hey,
honest
it's been,
about it's gonna yeah, be a long gonna, long
yeah.
time
so
yeah.
like back in February they're like, we're thinking maybe September to November is when it's gonna make its production run, and then like in August they're like, it's looking like
this
November
is, this is the thing with the Kickstarter and the game founds is as they almost all of them have had some sort of delays or snafu. Most of them are very upfront about it. And some of them just will tell you, hey, your game is on the way. And then 2 years later, you're like, hey, where's my game?
Yeah. So, like, they do send, I'll say, like, monthly updates where, like, hey, this is where this is. Hey, this is where this is. So, like,
That's really good for them.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been, like, out. Like, I haven't felt, like, put out. Like, oh, these guys have taken my money. And But
I have felt the, oh, I got put out and someone has taken my money. I know that there are some crowdfunders that have done that to people before, but I have yet to be in that situation. Yeah. Mostly I have just dealt with the not complete honesty on where the game is in production. Yeah. It's like, why not just tell your people?
Something that you brought up, Clint, before was, I don't know if we brought it up on the podcast, but like, I tell you something I have brought up on the podcast is how cold Dan's feet are, and he just put his toes on my foot, and it is like, regarding Kickstarters, when folks have these stretch goals, they consider like, and they don't expect to be $1 million successful like Senjutsu, like that, like say their goals like $100,000, and
Or $30,000.
Yeah, like even smaller. Like if they had gotten just like, if they're like, oh, we're only expecting, we'll use your number, $30,000. And like, they're like, and you know, we'll have stretch goals for like up to $40,000. And then it ends up being $1 million game. Mm-hmm. And they have all these stretch goals that just keep pushing, like, because they're like, well, we
need to come up with more things.
Yeah.
And create more stretch goals and create more content.
Which stretches the content, you know, and it's like, especially if it's like, oh, these are premium tokens. Well, we want our premium tokens to go out with the, you know, the game that these people get when they first get it. And they're not... They're trying to get it all to release at the same time instead of having like a production schedule, or because like it's cheaper just to ship everything all at the same time as opposed to making multiple shipments to these people. So yeah, I get it. You know,
it throws off the timelines when you get into those stretch goals you didn't expect. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It can totally throw your production cycle for a loop or whatever.
No, I've had that happen in a couple of my Kickstarters. They've been the one. I don't back ones that usually aren't already an extreme success, or seeming to be. But that also is the problem of, this one became an extreme success, so they have had to add all this content that they don't have made.
Yeah.
And so that means they have to come up with this content and then play test this content, refine this content, and then they can finally go and produce the game. And it really pushes
so
back.
So, if you add new characters, you know, that you only had, like, drawings of or a 3D model of, and it's just like, so we're going to add, we'll go with Senjutsu, we're going to add a ninja. And it's like, we had the idea, we maybe have, like, one or two abilities that we're thinking about using for the ninja or whatever.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't get, you know, it's like, we didn't expect that this was going to be releasing, you know, it's like, now we have to come up. And I'm saying just one character.
Yeah.
If you're like, we have
another.
And it's like, we just have concept art for these characters. We don't actually have them, and we need to balance this.
Yeah. That is what I've experienced in a couple of Kickstarters. Senjutsu was one of them. And I've had another one that was like that they just were like, here's another faction in the game. Oh, and here's another faction in the game. Yeah. And like, they're just concepts, as you said, like maybe even just a name on the board. They don't even have a drawing of it yet.
Yeah.
And that's stuff that they have to create from the ground up.
Yeah.
It really pushes back the game. But that's kind of part of the problem of the crowdfunding hype thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. And I also got to imagine that because so many things were crowdfunded during the pandemic, everybody's getting some factories in Zhangzhen, China.
Yeah.
Which is where I buy a lot of my component parts. But anyway,
yeah.
Sorry, I purchase stuff for a living. That's my job, purchasing agent. When I can't find it in America, I end up having to go to a place called Zhangzhen, China. Uh-huh. And that's where a lot of factories are. Mm-hmm. So that's...
They're probably just pumping out tons of board games right now.
They're like, we got this board game in, and then we got this board game in. And it's like, everybody's doing their...
There was a huge boom of board games during the pandemic because people were stuck inside. It rightly followed. And now, after the pandemic, we're all now getting those games in. Because, it takes a year or two for creation, playtesting, production, and shipping to all occur.
Yeah.
It takes a long freaking time.
Yep.
But so anyways, this one's finally coming in. I still have a couple more that are coming at some point next year. I don't think I have any more that are coming later this year. Oh, actually, I recently did back a Kickstarter that, or maybe it was a game fan, I can't remember.
Mm.
But it was one of those, it was a simple card game.
Yeah.
And they had in their thing, you will get this game before the year ends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's a really quick turnaround. That's like a two to three month turnaround.
Yeah.
But it is just cards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will believe this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I will believe this promise. And even if it's not fulfilled and it comes quarter one, I mean, I don't really care. It's just a card game that I backed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Uh-huh. But it was still just like, wow, that's quite the promise to promise as soon as this Kickstarter ends, like in October, you're going to get it before the end of the year. Like, cool. All right.
Yeah. There's a guy that was in X-Wing, Wade Piché, he's like, he just did Aerodome, but which has, you know, more component pieces and stuff like that, but he's working on a different game that is...
What was that one called? Dice Wars or something?
It's something, I think it's called like Super Dice Wars. He put like some kind of APB out, and I think it's actually supposed to be November is when it's going to go on Kickstarter or something like that. I'm going to actually get this one because it looks fun. Not saying that Aerodome didn't look fun, but but this one, like, I like the art, but from what I understand, it's just dice and cards, and I gotta imagine that's gonna go so much easier than
because
like he had a bonus acrylic from Andrew from Curled Paw if you hit this tier, and it's like I gotta imagine. I know that he's had some of the factory problems and then shipping it over. Like I know, so but like I gotta imagine. just doing dice and cards, you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. So I imagine easier. That's going to be a really quick one. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Components is definitely a big thing that's going to slow down production on a game, too. You go big on the minis, yeah. Which.
I love minis. I love so minis. I love
minis, and I get it. And like, you have a much higher chance of me getting backing a game, yeah, or buying a game if you have minis in it. But dice and cards is really easy to produce, yeah, like, yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
So, how are we doing on time? And is it pizza time yet? Like,
I feel like it's pizza
time. My stomach says it's pizza time.
Because we still have to order the pizza and wait for it to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So pizza party at the Scrubs. So if you guys can make it over, that'd be great.
If you can travel back in time several days to come to our pizza party, feel free to do that.
What if somebody does show up?
You're welcome.
Yeah, they'd be like, also, can we borrow your time machine? Yeah. Yeah. I got some choice words for AMG guys. Anyway.
Wow, deep cut.
Already.
Yeah, I don't know how long it's been because I didn't pay attention, but I assume it's an hour-ish.
I feel like it's been
time. It's been amounts of time that are sufficient for an episode.
So how late was Matt?
About 30 minutes.
Well, about 30 minutes, so it's probably been about an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know,
we've had plenty of tangential talks and stuff, mm-hmm, like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is an episode. Let's tie it up and put a little bow on it.
This has been an episode.
If this isn't long enough, blame pizza.
Matt was late. Do your Fit West, even though we're not. Uh-huh. I mean, come play some jiu-jitsu with me.
We're just not doing it well. This will be our lowest number output.
God, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah, which sucks, but yeah. Keep it up, y'all. Beat us into the ground, you know. And
yeah, there's always next time. We will
and we'll come at you again in Fit West April.
Coming at you. Yeah. Alrighty. Win a jacket. Do that.
Yeah. Win a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Three of you. No more. No less. The number of counting shall be three.
Indeed.
Five is right out.
Yeah.
Right.
You shall not count to two except to proceed on to three.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 Hello, boyo.
Excuse me. Is it back?
Are you brainless?
No, not really, no.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Don't let me know. Many Gungans will be killed.
Ah, Lucifer is well seen.